Raven, what constitutes a date for you and your wife, Alicia?
Usually a meal and some other activity is what I'm guessing, right? And then a little bit of smooching.
Okay, thank you.
I know you enjoy that when I do that.
So much.
Quite a bit.
So I was reading this whole article about how, like, you need to date your husband now. Just because you have young kids, you can't think about, like, one day when they're older, then we'll refocus on, and all that stuff, I agree. So I brought it up to him. I was like, we need to make more of an effort to go out on dates.
Sure.
Even, like, on weekends, we do everything with our kids. And you know what he said to me?
What's that?
He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, we went on 2 dates a week for the last 7 weeks. And I go, what?
What were they?
So remember how I had knee surgery and I couldn't drive? He drove me to PT. He drove me to physical therapy twice a week.
Okay.
And he says because we were in the car, my physical therapy is 20 minutes from my house. He says that because we were in the car for 40 minutes, 20 minutes there and 20 minutes home, that constitutes a date, and we were always by ourselves.
Okay. Well, you were by yourselves. Did he wait for you in the lobby? Did he wait for you in the parking lot?
What
did
he do? Because of COVID, he had to sit in the car. So he didn't walk me in or open the door. Like, he just literally went, pulled up to the front. Uh-huh. I would jump out.
Yeah.
And then he would come out when he knew that my session was over, and he would pick me up. And 9 times out of 10, I was just staring at my phone or out the window half the time anyway.
Well,
that's not a date.
That's my question is, what is your car rides like, right? Do you guys conversate the entire time, or does he have the radio on, or are you in your phone? I know that he's doing that humming thing that you enjoy a lot during eating and other times. Is he also humming while he's driving?
No. Half the time at red lights, he's checking his phone, which is illegal. And he's checking his work stuff.
Wow.
And the other time, he's kind of just like staring off or like just talking about nonsense. I didn't know that I was supposed to be treasuring these moments as these are our dates. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life?
I'm not sure about, you know, the length of the car ride or anything like that. But I would imagine that a date does, involve conversation.
I can't believe that you actually are agreeing with him that these, my trips to physical therapy are considered date nights.
No. I disagree. I think that you have to talk to each other to at least have a date.
I mean, I would have put on, like, nicer pants if I knew that these was our date.
No, you wouldn't have.
Well, probably not. 3G is dead, Raven. That's the big news on the headlines all over the place.
Goodbye, 3G. Hardly knew you. See ya.
Yeah, so now it's all about 5G. And if you're anything like me, you don't really understand what any of this means, but it means that your internet and your cars is going to be a lot faster and more connected.
Well, it's the network.
Mm-hmm.
So 5G is supposed to be bigger, better, faster, more bandwidth, right? But I guess when 3G goes away, a bunch of stuff just basically stops working. It becomes obsolete.
Yeah. So there's like a ton of different cars like Audi, BMW, Ford, Honda, Nissan, Infiniti, Porsche, Subaru, you name it, that if you had 3G connected, then all of a sudden today, a lot of your things are just going to stop working, like your navigation.
I use navigation on my phone, so I guess it's kind of useless for me, but that would stink if I was somebody that was used to using it in my car.
Or if you're somebody like me that doesn't really understand this and all of a sudden you plug in an address and you don't know why your navigation all of a sudden stops working.
Right. You're going to drive off a cliff at this point.
Yeah. So you either have to pay for an upgrade or just live with the fact that your car doesn't have internet anymore.
See, that smart car just became stupid.
But sometimes there's things in your car that you have that are dumb. To me, if you had navigation and then all of a sudden you woke up and you didn't have navigation, that's a big deal. That's a problem, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But what does your car have right now that if it disappeared tomorrow, you wouldn't even care?
So my car has automatic sensors, not just for the headlights, right? Where, you know, you can leave your lights on auto and it'll turn them off and on when you get off and on in and out of the car. But it has automatic high beams. Which I do use from time to time. It turns them off and on automatically when it sees a car coming.
Yeah.
But it also has automatic intermittent wipers.
Oh.
So not just like the timing, but it senses how much rain is coming down. Here's the thing. I put it on automatic wipers and I get anxious, man, because it waits longer than I would.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my wipers are busted or it goes too aggressive on it. And I don't know how it is that you can adjust it.
Yeah.
I had to call the dealership when I bought the car because I thought it was broken.
Dumbest thing in my car. And there was a selling point. That guy sat me down and he said, and I don't know if it's because I'm a woman he did this, right? But he said, you have 200 different color options for the interior lights of this vehicle. And I said, excuse me? And he showed me.
Yeah.
It was like a wheel of colors.
Yeah,
it was like a rainbow.
My wife has something like that in her car.
Yeah, he's like, you can pick any color, and at night, it illuminates inside the car that color. I go, 200. And he's like, 200. I go, why do you need 200 options
right.
on what the color should be?
Red, blue, green.
I mean, like a rainbow.
Magenta.
Like eight or nine colors would have been plenty. Like, there's no need to have 200.
Sanskrit, seven yeah. different colors of bone white.
So I asked him, I'm like, well, can we take money off if we take that out of the car? And he's like, no, it's standard with the car. And I go, well, that's dumb. Because there's no reason why anybody needs 200 color options for what the color is going to be lit up at night.
It's too much freedom.
Yeah.
You know what? Keep the colors. Give me back 3G navigation.
Yes, definitely.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you throw out a coach because he's pumping up the crowd, that's all I need to know about you.
How was he pumping up that crowd? Sometimes coaches get a little bit lively.
No, okay, so this was trending yesterday, and it like caught my eye because, you know, I don't know a whole ton about basketball.
Which is exactly why I asked for clarification.
Right, but this seemed ridiculous. So okay. UConn taking on Villanova, and first they call a technical on UConn's coach, Dan Hurley, because he complained about a call, and then he banged the sideboard or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it gets wackier because this happens. Listen to the whole thing.
What they saw him do was bang the sideboard.
You hear the crowd going crazy right there?
Sure, of course.
The reason why they're going more crazy is because he turned around to face the crowd and he threw up his hands to pump them up like, yeah, let's go. It was a
You're inciting
crowd.
A riot, Hurley.
Right. Well,
you're inciting a riot.
And another thing, he threw him out. He threw him out.
Dan Hurley is gone.
They threw the guy out for pumping up his own home crowd. Like, doesn't that seem ridiculous?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what the state of the game was. Sounds like it was pretty rowdy at that point. I don't know if people are acting like they're going to storm the courts or anything. I don't know. Was his gestures questionable?
No, it was like if you were a cheerleader and you did that, the coach would say to you, "You got to do more, girl. Like you have to take those pom poms and shake them harder." He just like threw up his arms, like, "Let me hear it. Let me hear it."
Yeah, I don't know. Again, without having seen it, it's hard for me to really pass judgment on this.
It's everywhere today, so if you have a chance, go look, because I saw it and I was like, that ref went to high school with him, and Dan Hurley like gave him a wedgie one time, and he was waiting for this moment to throw him out of a game.
And are we now, we are applauding people that give wedgies? Is that what we're doing here?
I don't actually know if that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you're making up a lot of stuff here is all I'm saying.
It just seemed like that guy had a vendetta. That's all I need to know about you.
Well, I mean, hopefully it all works itself out at this point. Who won the game?
UConn won. UConn won.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I guess that is surprising.
Yep. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you are driving slow on the highway and I then proceed to pass you and at that point you decide to speed up, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you wonder, like, do they not realize that they're going 40 miles per hour?
Oh, no, they're doing it to be a jerk. They're texting when they're doing 40.
In the left lane.
Yeah, they're texting when they're doing 40. And then when you pass them, oh, my gosh, I'm going to lose it something, so let me just be a wacko. Remember the good old days, though, where you could throw your coffee out the window at them or something like that? You can't do that stuff anymore.
No, because that's not nice and dangerous.
It's
dangerous
and terrible.
Now they're crazier than you are. So remember when you're crazy, used to be enough crazy to scare off the rest of the world?
Right. Now you're not crazy enough anymore.
You're not crazy enough.
And you should thank God for that.
Now they're more crazy than we are. What?
That's all I need to know.
Yeah. The average pet tries to eat something they shouldn't four times a day.
At the very least.
What was the last thing that your pet ate that they shouldn't have? 1-800-330-9999. Ironically, my dog Lila, now she's a little bit older. Well, she's four and a half now, but she was a rescue pup and she has a lot of anxiety issues. But her favorite thing to eat and gnaw at is the baseboards and the door frames. She like eats them like to the point where like you go into our family room and it's like somebody, it's like a shark was there. It took a chunk out of the side of the door.
Yeah.
But ironically, my husband was trying to fix one of them this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
His hand got infected, spent the entire last night in the emergency room because it got infected from like the caulk and the paint trying to repair it.
That's scary.
I know.
Right.
Yeah. But dogs, they just eat things that they're not supposed to eat. I can remember so many things that Lila has gone after that I'm like, oh gosh, please, I hope it comes out.
When we got Barkley, when Barkley was little, he used to do the same thing. He would eat the trim in the house, but only in a couple spots. So he would eat it in the bathroom, the master bathroom, which is like one of those spots where nobody's going to see. Mm-hmm. So you don't actually repair it. You just go, okay, well, that's something that the dog has destroyed. And then right by the front door, he would do that too. He got out of that. He also ate his first three beds. I mean, like the whole bed. Like you'd come back and it'd like be gone. And I mean, besides a little bit of foam coming out the back end over the next couple of days, like you wouldn't see it again. It was really amazing and somewhat terrifying too. And then he would eat anything of his brother's, whether it's his dog brother or his human brother, he'll eat anything that he can get his hands on of either of theirs.
The worst part is when they eat these things, it's like you have to have that internal conflict conversation in your head where, do I need to bring her to the vet, to the emergency room right now?
Is this something they're going to pass?
Is this going to cost me $2,000 because they ate whatever it is, you know? Oh, my gosh. Lila went through a whole period where she would eat all of Hayden's, like, Barbies. The hair. She loved the hair of the Barbies.
Yeah.
So the heads would just be missing. And then I didn't, for a while, it took me a second to like understand what was happening. I just thought that my older daughter was just breaking the heads off these dolls and I didn't know where she was doing with them.
Don't act like that's the scariest thing you ever heard.
No. And then finally, after a couple like times outside when I was cleaning up the yard, I was like,
I think it's a dominance thing. I used to cut the hair off of my sister's Barbies.
So you think Lila, my puppy, is trying to have dominance over my 13-year-old?
I think she's trying to, you know, get some ownership over that, right? She's like, I'll take your hands, I'll take your head. Even that, she's a serial killer.
One or the other.
Everybody knows you can't identify a torso.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Pets eat some weird things. On our text line at 1-800-330-9999, my dog ate a sewing needle. We weren't sure if he got it or not, so my dad put the metal detector over him, and it went crazy. Brought him to the vet, ended up passing it on his own without injury.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
I mean, that's quite a lucky set of circumstances. But do you stand there over the x-ray machine and watch it go through him over the next 8 hours?
It's like a little tiny missile moving its way across.
I'm terrified.
Pets on average eat 4 things a day that they shouldn't. What was the last thing your pet ate that they should not have? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
The first time my iPad chewed it in half. And then he actually ate that half. And I just got it. It was about 2 weeks old. And he was still a pup. He's a big dog. He's a Doberman. And then about a year later, he did the same thing to a brand new MacBook.
He just loves
and
metal.
Yes, either way, we had to take him to the vet twice to get his stomach pumped. So, yeah, he went from being a pretty expensive dog to being a ridiculously expensive dog.
Yeah, that's
and
for
I still
sure.
love him. I still love him.
Hi, Anna and Raven. What did your dog eat?
Hi. Well, it was actually my friend's dog. I was visiting them, and in the luggage, I had a dress that I loved. A dress I actually spent money on, which is, you know, I don't spend a lot of money on clothes, and I loved this dress. And I went in later, and I saw their little Frenchie was, like, tearing up the dress. You know, I was so sad and upset. The dress is ruined. But then when I picked it up, I realized that parts of the dress were actually missing. The dog ate part of the dress.
My dog was in love. I will consume you.
Yeah. My dog ate. Remember when Lila would only eat my thongs?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
She would eat my thongs, and they would just be like,
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
How? Why?
We've asked that same question many times, but it's something primal. It's the pheromones.
I swear, because she would only eat, like, the ones that were in the dirty hamper, which is disgusting.
Oh, no.
Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your dog eat?
Horrifically, my Louis Vuitton bag chewed right through it. I was so upset. I basically was in tears for about a month.
I'd still carry it. I'd be like, you know what? This bag is like a mortgage payment, and I'm still going to carry it all eaten up by this dog.
That dog would have to get a job. Immediately, that dog would get a job. We're going to teach you the value of a dollar so we don't run ourselves into this problem again. We are both going to learn from this. This is a teachable moment.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your dog eat?
My dog ate my cell phone. Just cracked all around the protective shield. I can't believe it. It's ruined. And I didn't have a warranty on that either. Thanks a lot.
Of course not, because the one time that like they ask you if you need a warranty on your phone. Actually, you know what? I bet you dog eating your phone probably isn't even covered under the warranty.
It's not going to qualify. I feel I've spent all the money on all the protections, and when I go in, there's always some exception, and I am the exception to the rule.
And you have to lie right through your teeth. Like when they ask you, did you submerge this in water, and you 100% like, you dropped it in the toilet, you're like, nope, but this has been sitting in this rice for 6 days.
Yeah. Never been any pets here.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your pet eat?
My pet ate my husband's glasses.
Oh my gosh.
That could be expensive. Yes. It's definitely inconvenient, right? And does your husband have a lot of backup pairs, or did he have to go to work looking like a dork?
I'm still blind.
You know how it is, man. Your backup ones, sometimes, you know, they got the tape on it. You know, they're glued.
No, he ate them too.
Yeah.
I ate them earlier.
How do you digest that? I don't even want to.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if he's got the lens out and if he stands in the right type of light, he could start a fire.
That's true.
So let's just let's make sure that everybody's safe.
The average pet tries to eat something that they shouldn't 4 times a day. What was the last thing that your pet ate that they should not have? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, on our Facebook page, Sarah wrote, I had a rabbit steal one of the kids' hot dogs on a plate and dove under the couch with it. I ran after her yelling, no, don't do it. You're a vegetarian. And she had a pretty big bite. It made me laugh because when your dog gets something they're not supposed to eat in their mouth, right? What do you yell at Barkley and Baxter?
No. Put it down. Leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of those things, which, by the way, none of those instructions usually work on anything. Even
true.
When we're playing like catch, they won't leave it when they're told to.
I'm a big stop, stop. Well, it says that 56% of pet owners will shout stop or no to try to stop their pets. And 35% put their pets in a timeout like they're a toddler. I guess if I do that too, I'm with the crate, right?
Yeah.
Like if she's not behaving, she'll go in her crate.
My instructor would say that the crate is a safe haven, not
it
a
is.
Punishment.
Well,
thank you very much.
Yeah, Lila actually does love her crate. She's happy there. Sometimes we open the door after she gets in trouble and she just doesn't come out. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What did your pet eat that they shouldn't have?
Hi, my dog ate a Duraflame log.
Oh, no.
A what?
A Duraflame log. They use them to start. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know what it is? It must be a texture thing because they're hard but kind of soft. I can't imagine that tastes very well. It smells a little bit like kerosene.
Well, she ate about half of it, so it must have tasted pretty good.
Oh, my gosh.
That's disgusting.
Like a full-size one?
Yeah, like a full-size one.
Oh, man. Tell her not to smoke while driving for the next couple weeks, all right?
Exactly.
Anna and Raven, what did your pet eat?
Well, my dog has eaten everything from Play-Doh, retainers, toys. He's on to like Nerf darts, but the weirdest thing he's ever eaten was when my baby son was born, his umbilical cord fell off and my wife, for whatever reason, sentimental, wanted to put it in the baggie and save it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we couldn't find it.
Oh
so we
God.
Assumed that he ate the umbilical cord.
Oh my God.
His palate is so vast. It's like Play-Doh to umbilical cord.
Isn't there like, there's like some, you know, secret magic powers in the umbilical cord too, right? It's like the, you know, the stem cell center.
That's
right?
Like, no, like the placenta.
Oh, well, whatever.
Eat the placenta.
I mean, so the dog couldn't fly after.
Know,
it didn't give him any superpowers.
I thought my wife was going to take it and get it surgery just to get the umbilical piece.
Oh, God.
To get it back.
Oh.
And Raven, what did your dog eat?
A jar of peanut butter.
Oh, my dog loves peanut butter.
She got it off the counter. It was in the middle of the living room floor and sat there and worked on the jar lid. I don't know how long it took her, but she got it open and she got all of the peanut butter out that her snout could fit in the jar.
Oh, my. What kind of dog do you have?
She's like a husky mix.
Smart. Like an octopus or something. Opening a jar. Like, I mean, that's impressive.
Anna and Raven, what did your pet eat?
Hi, that was easy. My dog ate my back seat. I went in to go teach yoga. I left him in the car because he likes the car, and he ate my back seat. And plus, he also ate a seat belt, too.
Oh, my, what kind of dog?
A German Shepherd. He's actually a police dog. He's from the Czech Republic. But he has a lot of separation anxiety from me. So I teach yoga, and I left him in the car like I always do. And I came back, and my seat was gone. So now I have to invest in a seat and a seatbelt.
Wow.
I had a pit bull one time. He ate my steering wheel.
Wait a minute. How do you drive home when your pit bull eats your steering wheel?
Well, he ate like a piece of it. Oh. So you could still hold on to it from the sides. But that's when I learned that you couldn't leave Bella alone.
No.
Couldn't leave her alone for even a minute. Also, why they don't put cloth seats in the back of police cruisers.
Makes sense.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday is all about small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. And today, it's a new professional league, Raven. It's a sport that you could even do at home. And truthfully, your kids probably do it all the time. You've been doing it since you were a kid yourself. It's the Pillow Fight League.
Oh, what?
Yep.
Say what?
It's a real thing. Here's what it's all about.
There is a professional pillow fight league in Florida. Fighters win by hitting an opponent in the head the most times with a 2-pound pillow during 3 90-second rounds.
Yep.
God bless Florida.
Right. And here's the best part about pillow fighting. Okay. It's effective stress-busting therapy because you get all the anger out when you're smacking somebody with a pillow.
Sure.
Laughter increases your intake of oxygen, and that stimulates major organs and seriously increases the endorphin flow from your brain.
I mean, that's only if you're laughing.
Yeah.
I plan on going into this deadly serious.
Yeah. Well, they really do. Here's a couple of the fighters talking about it.
A lot of people think it's dumb, but it's actually fun and challenging.
What surprised me about pillow fighting is the amount of cardio you need to outlast.
Yeah, so you get all like the stress relief, you get the laughter, you get the endorphins, you get all that. And it's calorie burning. It takes a lot to be able to maintain that.
Yeah, I mean, the 2 to 3 pound pillow seems like a rule that maybe they put in there. But I mean, there's always going to be a fight club, right? Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a league. And then there's the back alley type area of it. So, I mean, I bet you there's people pillow fighting out there right now with a 10 pound piece of lead.
Oh, you're not supposed to. There's rules to pillow fighting. And we're going to get to that coming up in just a little bit. But what do one of these fights actually sound like? Well, they have themed fights. So this is two Marines that were going at it.
Third and final round.
Great face shot.
They're going at it.
Oh, that was a miss by Colt. Oh, Vince.
Overhand right.
They both have similar fight strategies. I don't know if this is what they learned in the Marine Corps, but I think they got to get a little more creative with their fighting if one of them wants to take this home.
I mean, I don't know. I would have skipped that commentary. You kind of...
Well, I was
you overshot it with all the cool stuff that you said before that, and then that sounded like the lamest party ever.
Well,
oh, they're going at it. Thanks for the commentary, dude.
It's literally a ring. Like you would see like a regular fight club ring, right? But they just have giant pillows in different colors. And they're just beating each other senseless. I like when the lady says, I don't know if this is what they taught them in the Marines. No. I'm like, I'm relatively certain that they didn't teach them pillow fighting in the Marines.
Code red,
other
man.
Things.
A couple blocks of soap in your sock.
Right?
But it's definitely a different feeling there. Maybe they need new commentators, mm-hmm. man. Maybe we could sign up for that.
We would 100% be better.
Yes.
Here's the good news. We're going to have our shot coming up next because there are rules on how to have an effective and like stress-reducing pillow fight. We're going to go over those rules. Producer John and producer Sean have brought in their weapons, a.k.a. their pillows, and they're going to go at it. Coming up next.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Today, the best new way that's really an old way to get rid of stress, burn some calories, and increase endorphins to your brain, pillow fighting. It's a new competitive sport, but, you know, you could do it at home just like you've been doing your entire life. Now, in a minute, we're going to let producer John and producer Sean go at it, but there are actual rules to pillow fighting that I think we need to review.
While you go over the rules, I want to feel those pillows. I want to feel the weight of those pillows. Toss those over, boys.
Well, speaking of the pillows, that's the first thing we need to talk about. The best pillows for fighting are soft, and they can have some give. While feathers and down pillows work best, anything that's classified as plush will work. The bottom line, if you can whack someone with it without causing pain or injury, it is suitable for pillow fighting. Raven, what do you think?
Whose flannel pillow is this?
That'd be mine.
It's somewhat fragrant. It's a little bit lighter than the other one. John, I mean, for my years as a pillow fighter growing up,
yeah.
I would double over your pillow inside the case. Everybody knows that's how you make that thing like a rock.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And then swing it with vengeance and rage.
Okay. All right. Here are the actual rules of the game, gentlemen. Let's all pay attention. Number one, no smothering. Nobody dies here today with the pillow.
You can't put them down, and mount them, and put the pillow over their face? Okay.
Absolutely not. Number two, no holding. You can't hold each other's pillows or try to grab each other's pillows.
Okay.
All right. Number three of pillow fighting, your battleground. You have to choose where the pillow fight will be, and then you have to make sure you don't break anything that is especially important in the studio. Okay? So we've classified a certain area of the studio. We have the camera set up. We will put this up on our Instagram and Facebook at Anna and Raven when we're done. And number four, who wins? In order to avoid an argument post-fight, Raven and I are the judges. We will decide who wins. We're going to use a point system. Anytime somebody cries out, that's going to be 1 point against you, okay?
All right, let's get it on, man. Right. Enough talking already. All right, come on.
I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. You guys have 30 seconds to go at it. Raven and I will do the commentary. Let me know when you're ready.
Is that it? 30 seconds? I thought they'd fight to the death.
No. Okay, you guys are ready? Sean said that he's been preparing for this moment his whole life.
Took off his glasses.
What is he doing?
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go get it out.
Go. Oh, no. Oh, somebody's going to get
shot out. Over the top from John.
Somebody's going. Okay,
John's going high. Over. Sean is going low. But okay. Sean's also trying to. Oh, he windmills him, though. Oh, he's going low. He's
Sean's
going
on the floor.
Legs.
Sean's on the floor. Oh, my God. Okay.
Another haymaker swings going on here. Helicopter
Don't
swings
hit me.
Now.
All right.
Oh, their pillows
up.
Are tangled.
All right. Three more seconds.
Oh,
three.
A block
two,
from Sean.
And
who
one.
Will get the knockout shot?
Why am I dizzy? Why am I dizzy from watching the two of them fight? Oh, they're hugging at the end. That was nice.
That's good sportsmanship.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened here.
I'd have to say it's probably, I think, John. My shoulder
John
hurts.
John won because Sean went down
low.
To the ground. And then he fell. And even though you rebounded quickly, during those times, he got some good shots to the head. Now, both of you are out of breath. Are you okay?
I'm all right. I think so.
Yeah. He tore his rotator cuff. What's going on there?
He seems more injured than me, so that should go to me.
You might be right.
Did you hurt yourself, John?
No, I'm all right. I'm a little sore. You know, it's okay.
You're not talking. He's not talking because he can't breathe. Is that a real thing?
No, I am perfectly fine. And Zap, I will talk. Listen. I've got things to say. I could talk all day.
I will say
it's not making
I'm doing
any
great.
Sense, but right.
I think Sean went in with a plan.
Yeah.
I think his plan backfired.
You know, Mike Tyson always says, man, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Single Dana, Anna and Raven.
So Dana works in our office, and you know, recently she had gone through a breakup with a guy who left her at McDonald's, which we said was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went back to him against everything we said, and he ended up cheating on her, and now she's single again. So we decided it was time for us to get involved.
Dana, to be fair, some of your decision-making has been a bit questionable.
Yep.
But you're a nice girl, so there's got to be options out you. So we looked at two different apps, Anna, Bumble and Hitch, right? And she had a couple different prospects.
And we narrowed it down to two guys we really liked. One guy, he was dressed as a leprechaun, which sounds strange. And at first I was like, any dude that's dressed as a leprechaun, you probably shouldn't go out with. But then I saw a picture of him and I was like, oh, he's the cutest leprechaun I've ever did see. And we decided
Dana,
to pursue him.
Describe what makes someone leprechaunish.
Well, he wears a waistcoat and a top hat and a little gold chain, too.
I mean, come on. Like,
yeah.
And he's from Ireland, correct?
He's straight off the boat. Yeah.
Okay.
And the other guy was 6 foot three.
I didn't realize the boats were still coming. I thought nowadays you just take a plane
no,
and you were
do.
Coming to visit your cousin.
Yeah, no,
but
that's true.
Turns out that the boat is still showing up with people. Okay.
And the other guy was 6 foot three, wants to be a farmer, and offered a goat as a dowry for you, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So who did you end up going out with this past week?
The Irishman.
All right. So where did you meet up?
We met at a bar, so we had a few drinks.
And he did not dress as a leprechaun when you showed up?
No, he didn't. I did.
How did it go? Was there sparks? Did you guys conversate?
Yeah, he was a very nice man. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I might go on another date with him.
Okay, did he look shorter in person than he did on the app?
He was like leprechaun size, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he was nice, but it didn't sound like there was a whole lot of sparks there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a first date, you know? I'm definitely going to go on another one.
So okay. That's good.
So that went well, yep.
All right, so now what's the deal with the guy who offered the dowry for you?
He invited me to go to a comedy show, and I said I was going to go, but I realized I have a wedding, so we're probably going to go out on Friday night.
So you double booked.
I double booked.
It was originally another day?
It was Saturday.
How did you forget that you had a wedding to go to when you... I mean, it's not like you had like, oh my gosh, I forgot I had told my best friend I would have dinner with her. I'm like, it's a wedding. I feel like really that's something you put in your phone.
I don't really write things down. Okay. I just kind of keep it up in my brain.
I mean, don't you run our front desk here?
I know. I don't know how I got the job, honestly.
Who are you going to the wedding with?
My friend Christina.
Okay. So yeah, you're the N1. So it's not a date on Saturday night.
Yep. So we'll be on the prowl.
All right.
Well, not if he brings a couple extra goats on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
This thing will
be
done.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to ask him to go out on Friday night. Does it feel weird? Remember, you're talking to somebody that the last time I was single, I was a junior in college, sophomore in college, even younger. Mm-hmm. So like when you dated one guy, you dated like one guy. You didn't go out with multiple guys. Is it strange to be going on multiple dates with different people?
It does feel a bit weird. It feels weird. I feel like...
Well, you're not telling one about the other one.
No, I'm not.
And you have no obligation to right now.
Yeah.
But did you kiss the first guy?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so that's good to know. Because to me, I feel like you could... It's just having drink with a friend. But the minute you kiss somebody, I feel like then you can't see other people anymore.
Yeah.
Is that real?
I agree with that. Yep. It just feels weird, right? That would just feel weird.
I agree with you on that.
I don't know. You're trying things out, man. It's just a kiss.
All right. Well, we're going to see what goes on with the goat guy. I mean... He's 6'3". He'll definitely be taller than the leprechaun.
6'6".
What?
Yep.
Oh, girl, you better wear heels.
I'm nervous. I know, yeah.
Tell me if you think this is weird too, okay?
Okay.
We brought our kids to the American Museum of Natural History this past weekend.
Which, oh, look at you. Yeah. I mean, doing a smart thing. I enjoy that.
Well, Dakota, my little one, she's 3, and my godson are obsessed with dinosaurs.
Of course.
We figured, all right, let's bring them to the Mecca of dinosaurs.
Nice.
Let's see the dinosaur bones. And they were very, very excited about it. So we go, and we're not the only people that have decided to do this weekend because there are 6 billion other people at the museum.
Right.
It is crowded as crowded can be. But we're walking together and there's me, my husband, my cousin, her husband, and our 6 kids. We have 6 kids with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking through these crowded hallways and we're trying to get through and we're approaching the Hall of African Mammals. So you have like the elephants and the tigers and the whole things like that are going on. But there's a bench to the right and people are trying to sit down wherever they can. And there is a grown man sitting at the bench. And he's taking off his shoes. And I go, what's this guy doing?
Did he have like a rock in
there? Well, that's what I immediately thought.
Like he's going to empty something
out
of it.
Yes, like
right.
Something is stuck in his shoes.
Yeah, this poor man.
Right.
Let him get that rock out of there.
He did not. He took off the shoes and he placed them neatly next to his feet, where we're wearing white socks. And he just sat there. It was like he was giving his feet room to breathe. And I was like... You can't just take your shoes off in the middle of a museum.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? This is a public place here.
What are you
here.
Doing, buddy?
I would immediately be paying attention, too. Like, I'm thinking, is this guy giving himself last rites? Like, what's happening here?
Right. And then I was thinking, I go, there's just some places in public you don't take off your shoes. Like, you do not take off your shoes in the Hall of African Mammals at the American Museum of Natural History.
I mean, it does seem crazy.
Right? Like, there's some places you don't take off your shoes. I used to have a co-host.
I can agree with that.
I used to have a co-host that used to take off his shoes every day. Raven, he would walk in here, he would walk behind to where the mics were, and he would take off his shoes and he would put them there.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Every single day.
Was it on this same mat that's over here?
I don't know if that mat's new. I hope this mat is new. We're going back a decade now.
Oh,
I'm assuming
my
it was
gosh.
And I thought it was so nasty.
Never barefoot.
No, he would wear socks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still
socks.
Bad. I mean,
still
you could smell like your shoes in here, right?
Yeah. Places you should never take off your shoes in public.
The airplane. The airplane. Don't take your shoes off at the airplane. I always want to, and I'm tempted to, but you have to remember that there's other people around you and that it's disgusting.
And you're in an enclosed space, and nobody wants to smell your feet funk.
I would also say that a bus or anything like that applies to that, right? If you take your feet off, you know, your shoes off on a bus, that's exactly why people hate buses.
You know,
don't do that to the bus.
My parents own restaurants, so I spent a lot of time growing up in restaurants, and you would be surprised by the amount of women, if they're wearing heels but they don't have socks on, will take their heels off at the table. And I always thought that's nasty. Like, you're in a restaurant. What are you doing taking your shoes off?
Right. How many people have dropped a piece of food on that floor?
Oh, gosh.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it at a sporting event or a concert. The person that's always, like, the first barefoot person at the rock concert, like, I know you're trying to show how free you are and all that stuff. Your feet are disgusting, all right? They're busted. And somebody's going to end up stepping on them. You're definitely going to get carted away on a stretcher at some point. It's gross.
The community shower in your freshman dorm.
Oh, what? You remember, I used to tell you that I had to quit a gym because the old guys would not stop going barefoot in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I was like, athlete's foot's going to kill one of you guys.
There's just some places that you don't take off your shoes in public.
That's for sure.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Mike and Amy. Amy, what's going on?
Mike and I have been at war here a little bit. Basically, we need to have my mom move in with us. And I realize it's not ideal, but we're just not in the situation to pay for a caretaker to live with my mom. It's a really sad situation, but we're going to make the best out of it. I want to, you know, I want this to be a positive thing. But we live in a small house, smaller. We have two daughters and they each have their own room. When my mom comes to move in with us, when she comes to live with us, my 10-year-old is going to move in with my 16-year-old. And, you know, my thinking is, listen, this is temporary. She'll be in college in a year and a half. This is for the greater good of the family. And Mike doesn't agree.
Mike, why don't you agree?
Well, you know, we just got this house a few years ago, and before then, the 16-year-old and the 10-year-old had to share rooms. Now, my 16-year-old finally has a room to herself and is getting prepared for college, and I just think it's unfair to have her move out right now. I understand the situation with her mother, and, you know, we can't afford it, but we have a perfectly fine family room where the mom can stay in. So I understand that the bathroom is a little bit farther, you know.
That's a Gatorade bottle in a teenager's bedroom.
I'm not trying to be insensitive about it, but I'm just trying to. My 16-year-old has been, you know, waiting for this for a long time. She just barely had her own room. Now we're asking her to give it up for the 10-year-old. I just think it's kind of unfair right now.
I mean, I get what you're saying. If you had to share a room forever and then you finally get your own room and then it's kind of, you know, taken away from you for after a year, 2 years, three years, whatever, you get a little resentment. Plus, at 16, obviously, you're going through things that the 10-year-old isn't. And you want to have some privacy there or whatever. On the other hand, living in somebody's family room, I mean, without doors on it, like, you know, that's cool for a weekend or a week, right, Anna? But, I mean, after that.
Wait a minute. The family room is like you all hang out in there. That's not like a separate family room where, you know, some people have rooms like nobody goes in. Like, that's a room that everybody lives in.
Well, we can go somewhere else. We can stay in another part of the house, hang out in another part of the house.
Yeah.
What part of the house, Mike?
The kitchen? Yeah. Like, where is she going
to
sleep?
Well, to me, too, a bedroom needs doors, man. I mean, if the family room doesn't have doors, right, if it's just walkthroughs like regular houses, it's still not your own room. That's not privacy. If I can see you from the kitchen counter, then that's not cool.
Have you brought it up to the girls? Were they receptive or were they upset?
I know. Well, yeah. We haven't brought it up, but the 16-year-old wants to keep her room. I know that. She loves the room. She's just decorated the room, so we have to take down all the decorations and things like that.
Let's see what the audience has to say. Maybe they'll agree with Amy that it makes sense. Her mother needs her own bedroom, so the girls have to share a room again. It's only for a short time. She'll be off to college in a year and a half, and it is what it is. But they may see Mike's side, too, that if your mother-in-law is coming to move in, it's also about making sacrifices, and if you could find another space, even if it's in a different part of the house that isn't technically a bedroom, then maybe your mom should just be appreciative that that's being offered.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Amy's mom is going to be moving in with her and her husband and their two girls. Now, here's the thing. They had just moved into this new home a couple years ago. The kids had shared a room before. Now they each have their own room. But with grandma moving in, it looks like they're going to have to share a room again. Well, that's what Amy says, but Mike's not on board with that.
You know, I had to share a room with my sister for a while and a big age gap. And, you know, that's just how it was when we were younger. And when we finally got our own rooms, It would be a lot to think about going back to not having our own private space. Mike says that's exactly the problem here. The 16-year-old waited all this time to get her room. She just got the room. Let's just put your mother in the living space, in the living room. It'll be fine.
Right, but how do you put your mom in the family room and say this is where you live now? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side. The 16-year-old should have her own room.
But at the expense of her grandmother?
Well, so here's what I'm thinking. The living room might not have doors, put up like curtain rods and curtains and still give her her own privacy. I don't know. Put the 10-year-old or the 16-year-old in the living room and give the other person their own room.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
Just put somebody in the work shed.
Amy's mom is moving in with them. And, you know, Mike has a problem with the fact that their girls are going to have to share a room again so that grandma can have her own room. And he's come up with a solution. Yeah, great. Grandma, she can sleep in the family room. She's not taking away one of the girls' rooms.
Yeah, that would be really difficult, right? I mean, so here's the conundrum. The 16-year-old waited all these years to have their own room. Now he doesn't want to move the 16-year-old and the 10-year-old back into the same room together, even though she's getting ready to go to college in about a year and a half. I mean, these are formative times of her life, and she's, again, waited a long time. But to me, Anna, if there's no bedroom door on the room that I'm staying in, like, I can't really be comfortable in there, right?
Yeah, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I'm actually on the side. I don't remember whose side it was, but I think it's fair for the girls to have to share a room. I mean, I grew up having to share a room with a disabled brother because my grandparents lived downstairs, so I think it'll bring those two sisters or whoever's moving in together a little bit closer. They might have a little bit of time together before their sibling goes off to college. You might do them pretty well.
You know, I had to share a room for many, many years, too, when I was growing up. Did I love it when I got my own bedroom? Of course I did. But, you know, I mean, it took a long time till I did. It was just the way it was in my house.
I do see his point, though. They did share a room for many years, and now they finally have their own room. And
right.
Now it's like, just kidding, you know.
It's hard to go back.
Right.
Right? You feel like I'm always the first person to sacrifice.
Yeah. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think the girls need to give up their room for grandma.
I do agree. I think that asking somebody to sleep in your family room for an extended period of time over a year seems like a long time to be sleeping on like a pullout, you know?
It'd be one thing if they were 20.
Yeah.
When you're at retirement age, it's a whole different ballgame. Sleeping on a pullout, by the way, is misery.
I totally agree.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I want to go with the wife. You just got to do what you got to do, and you don't want to spoil your kids either. It's going to be a tough life eventually anyway, so you got to deal with it for a little while.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Amy, our audience agreed with you. Your kids are going to have to sacrifice. It's their grandma. They'll understand. And if they don't understand, well, they'll understand one day when they're older.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly like how I feel. Like, the kids are okay. They can rebound, but this, I want my mom to have her own space and some privacy, so she doesn't feel like she's been ripped from everything she knows. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mike, sounds like it's going to be an unpleasant conversation with your older daughter, but you're going to be all right?
I think I will. We'll have, you know, to make concessions, I guess.
Right.
Plenty of kids spend their whole lives sharing rooms. They'll be all right. If you have a problem, too, send an email.
Yes.
Core@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,600 thanks to Discover Card. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Anthony, you ready to play today?
I am, Anna.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, $1,600, man. Good luck.
Holy cow.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number 1, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is back for season 4 after a long wait on Amazon. Tony Shalhoub plays Abe Weissman in the show. But what 90s NBC sitcom did he star in as Antonio Scarpacci?
Oh, I don't know.
Number 2, the animated series Arthur came to an end on Monday after 25 seasons. What kind of animal is Arthur?
Bear.
Number three, the U.S. Soccer Federation agreed to pay their female players $22 million to settle their lawsuit over equal pay. How many years are there in between each FIFA Women's World Cup?
Four.
Number four, according to a new study, the average person loses 756 socks in their lifetime. What was the name of the sock puppet that Sherry Lewis brought to life?
Don't know.
And number five, this year's Oscars will present 8 awards an hour before the live broadcast. They will be recorded and edited into the live broadcast. The actual Academy Award is a knight holding what?
A sword?
That's a little long, but you know what? I'll give it to you because I'm feeling generous. Let's bring Raven back in.
Ew.
Okay, Anthony got 2 out of 5.
All right, Anthony, they sound like they're tricky. Let's see how I do here.
Number one, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is finally back for season 4 after the long wait on Amazon.
You love that show.
I do. Tony Shalhoub plays Abe Weissman in the show, but what 90s NBC sitcom did he star in as Antonio Scarpacci?
90s. Wings.
Wings is correct.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Thought for a minute you were going to go Monk.
Nope. Number two, the animated children's series Arthur came to an end on Monday after 25 seasons. What kind of animal is Arthur?
He's an aardvark.
Yes, you guys are tied at 2. Number three, the U.S. Soccer Federation agreed to pay their female players $22 million to settle their lawsuit over equal pay.
Yeah.
How many years are there in between each FIFA Women's World Cup?
Oh, God. One?
No, there's 4.
Okay.
Number four, according to a new study, the average person loses 756 socks in their lifetime. What was the name of the sock puppet that Sherry Lewis brought to life?
Lamb Chop?
Lamb Chop is right.
Yeah.
And number five.
Only this, sock puppet I know.
Right. This year's Oscars will present 8 awards an hour before the live broadcast. They will be recorded and edited into the live broadcast. The actual Academy Award is a knight holding what?
Oh, he's holding an Excalibur, right? Isn't it a sword?
It's a sword.
It's an Excalibur.
Okay. I'm sorry, Anthony. He beat you 4-2 today. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Anthony, and I cannot beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Anthony. Hold on.
Better luck next time. $1,700 tomorrow, Anna.
That's a good amount of cash. I'm surprised you knew Lamb Chop. You had to dig deep on that one, right?
Well, I love Lamb Chop. I mean, it's the only sock puppet I know, by the way. I mean, name another sock puppet.